Roberts Robinson Chevrolet Buick GMC presents Kevin Keatsman Has Issues, online at robertsrobinson.com.
Well, it was a photo finish, overtime, extra innings kind of weekend. A soggy weekend, but everything was played and in. The Royals lose the last two of the weekend. We have the closest race in the history of NASCAR at Kansas Speedway, and the Kentucky Derby was won by an inch, and the favorite finished second. It is all brought to you today by our friends at North Kansas City Dental. Dr. Bill Bush and his team of award-winning dentists at North Kansas City Dental would love to be your regular dentists. If it's time for a teeth cleaning or a checkup, give them a call at North Kansas City Dental and schedule an appointment either in the Northland or Westwood on the Kansas side, 816-471-2911, online at nkcdental.com. We start the new week with the Kansas City Royals, who've dropped two in a row, and the two they lost on Saturday and Sunday were completely different games. On Saturday night, a game I attended, my mom went to the game. It was a little chilly Saturday night for Star Wars night at Kauffman Stadium. Michael Wacha just got bombed. I mean, just destroyed in the outing by the Texas Rangers, and the Royals were never in this game as they, it happens. Baseball's a long season. You're going to have games that you win easy and you lose badly, and that happened on Saturday night. Sunday was the real difference in the game that was going to decide the series. It was a three-game series. The Royals had won on Friday night. On Sunday, they led 2-0 going into the eighth inning, and the bullpen fell apart. Not a good look. The Royals give up a run in the eighth, a run in the ninth, and a run in the tenth, and lose it 3-2 in 10 innings, thereby losing the series and falling to 20-15 on the season. No big deal. 2.5 games back at Cleveland, but doggone it, you got to win the games that you have won, and this game was set up with excellent starting pitching from Daniel Lynch, who got his first start of the year. The highly drafted, once top prospect by the Royals, got the chance to fill in for Alec Marsh, who missed his second consecutive start due to injury after he got hit by a batted ball. Lynch was terrific. Royals had a 2-0 lead. Both times Bobby Witt got on, he had a double and a triple, and Pasquantino knocked him in. And the Royals were leading 2-0 heading into the eighth inning, just needed six outs to go home, win the series. And they would have been 21-14, a game and a half out of first place. All is good, but the bullpen faltered. Schreiber gives up a run, then MacArthur comes in the ninth, blows his second save of the year in 9 chances, and then he pitches the 10th inning as well. And remember, in extra innings, you start the extra inning with a runner on second base, and that man was able to score off of MacArthur. So he gets a second blown save out of 9 chances. The Royals lose 3-2. They can't get the run across in the bottom of the 10th to tie the game. I thought they should have bunted Hunter Renfroe over with Isbell at the plate to set up Garcia and Bobby Witt to have a chance to hit a sacrifice fly or a hard ground ball with the infield in or something like that, but they did not move the runner over, and the Royals lose the game 3-2 in extra innings. The biggest story in the division is the Twins, who have now tied virtually the Royals after we kind of gave up on the Twins and thought they were a bad team, and looking at a terrible season, they just had an awful start to the year after beating the Royals a couple of times at Kauffman Stadium. They just had an awful stretch. The Twins won 12 games in a row before losing to the Red Sox 9-2 on Sunday. The 12-in-a-row streak probably won't be matched in baseball this year, and it's been, I think it might be a record for the Minnesota Twins. I don't think the franchise has ever won 12 in a row, but their season is now jump-started in an AL Central that looks tough. The Tigers are pretty good. The Twins are capable of winning 12 in a row. The Guardians have maybe been the best team in baseball in first place, and the Royals are maybe the biggest surprise in all of Major League Baseball. So the American League Central, at least about a fifth of the way into the season, has been quite the surprise, and it's going to be one of those years, if the division is this way, where the Royals can't lose games like they lost on Sunday. You can't take a 2-0 lead in the eighth inning at home and lose it, and the Royals did that, and that's disappointing. They get the Brewers on Monday night. Cole Reagan's back on the hill, the number one starter, although statistically he is the third best starter of the Royals right now. But he was terrific in his last outing. We'll see what Cole Reagans dials up against the Milwaukee Brewers as they're in town for a series Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. While the Royals were playing in some spitting rain on Sunday and cool temperatures, they paused at Kansas Speedway and sat and sat and sat, and they sat all day, which isn't that big of a deal for NASCAR because it puts them into prime time for television. So no big deal there. They may actually get better viewership having the race pushed back. They like to run these races in the afternoon. It was scheduled for a 2 o'clock start. So a lot of the fans that come to the race at Kansas Speedway have time to drive home. There are many fans that come from several hours away. They camp, they come to Kansas City for the weekend, whatever, for the races. And they like to give them time to drive home on Sunday night at a reasonable hour. That was not a doable thing for the people that traveled a long way, as this race was basically delayed all day. It started after the Royals game. The Royals went extra innings, and I don't know what time they finished, maybe 4:15, 4:30, something like that. And I want to say the race started right in there around 4:30, 4:45. No, because the Royals were delayed too. My time's all off. The Royals didn't start until 2:30 because they did have a delay at the beginning. So this race started late, but it was worth it. It was the closest race in NASCAR history, if you can believe that. All the decades and years of NASCAR racing, this is the closest finish ever. Kyle Larson edges out Chris Buescher at the finale by, I guess, less than an inch. The announcers that were calling it, including Clint Bowyer from the Kansas City area on Fox Sports 1, called Buescher the winner in live time, in real time. They cut to the pit crew. They're all high-fiving. They're celebrating the whole thing. They think they've got it won. These two cars are just literally slamming into each other door to door as they're coming to the finish line like Days of Thunder. I mean, it was that race at the end. They're pounding each other. Buescher goes down below the line after Kyle Larson hits him. Larson has the faster car, and he's gaining on Buescher there, and they go right to the finish, and everybody was wrong. And the celebration that ensued for Chris Buescher and the chatter on radio, and they were celebrating winning, they were wrong. Kyle Larson won this race, the closest race in NASCAR history, by an inch, but it may not have even been an inch. Photo finish, banging doors. This was in overtime after Kyle Busch had spun out on lap 261 of 267. So we got the restart in the AdventHealth 400 after a long delay to start the race. We saw the best race of the year. And if this were more famous, if this was like the Daytona 500, or one of the super speedways, Talladega or something, 27 lead changes, 10 different drivers, and the closest finish in NASCAR history, we might literally be talking about the greatest race of all time. You can make an argument that Sunday's race at Kansas Speedway was the greatest NASCAR race of all time. It was sensational on many fronts, and it culminates with the closest victory in the history of the Cup Series, Kyle Larson edging out Chris Buescher. Kyle Larson, a terrific driver, and earned the win. Great, great race. More photo finishes as the Kentucky Derby had a photo finish that nobody knew who won in live time. This one was three wide, three horses right there nose to nose at the finish, one of the greatest races of all time. The 150th running of the Kentucky Derby, which, by the way, is the oldest sporting event in America. It's the oldest continuous championship thing in the United States. This was year number 150 of the Kentucky Derby. Travis Kelce was there, donning a hat, a typical Southern gentleman suit on at the Kentucky Derby. It was the highest rated race on NBC since 1989. And I can't tell you why, other than now it's also streaming on Peacock. And when you combine live television and streaming, maybe it boosts the number. But this is a shocker to me. It averaged almost 17 million. And when Mystic Dan won a three-horse photo finish, a long shot, Mystic Dan, edging out the favorite, Sierra Leone, by one inch, just like the NASCAR race, 21 million people were watching. A massive number for the Kentucky Derby. And I thought maybe horse racing was down because of all the injuries and deaths, euthanizations of horses the last few years, the scandals, the cheating. Apparently it develops intrigue in some way. And the 150th running of the Kentucky Derby was the highest rated since 1989. That's a shocker to me, but that's a big number, folks. 21 million people watching the Kentucky Derby. I'm guessing this happens because now we have legalized betting in so many states, and so many people in 30 different states have an app on their phone and are able to bet $2 on a horse, $5 on a horse, whatever. I bet very small wagers on three long shots, did not hit any of them. But I was on three long shots. Mystic Dan was not one. Just for fun. We literally were watching it. I think it started at like 5:57, 5:58 Kansas City time. We were at Kauffman Stadium. And I'm not the biggest tech guy, okay? But I do love being able to watch live sports on my phone. It's pretty cool. So the national anthem had just played at the K for the Royals and the Rangers. And I'm sitting there with my buddy Cato. And we sit down and I go, okay, here we go. Here's the Derby. And he was in the action with, we each bet $5 on three long shots. So we were each in for $15. And we're watching, just before the Royals' first pitch, we're watching the Kentucky Derby on the iPhone. Isn't technology great? Then my beef about the Royals continues. And this was my second game attended this year. It is absurd that they have a giant scoreboard and a Jumbotron and they show you nothing. There are no replays. There is nothing. You can't see when a pitcher is pitching well and painting the corners. You can't see when Michael Wacha is grooving it down Broadway and giving up these hard hits. They don't replay anything. Like, literally the worst way to see a baseball game is to go to the game. I had seats. We got them at Tickets for Less. They were great. The tickets at ticketsforless.com were actually cheaper than royals.com. I thought that was a pretty cool trick. I checked both places. Then I added the promo code and saved 5% on top of that on the entire order, which was pretty cool. We had lower level seats down the first base line past the dugout, but not all the way to the foul pole. And I was sitting on the aisle, but the aisle was open to my left as I was looking to home plate. And I was stunned that nobody watches the game. Nobody was watching. There were little league teams. There were large groups. There were out-of-towners. We saw people, a baseball team from Omaha was there. It was all about the milkshakes, the cotton candy, the peanuts, the beer, whatever it was, up and down the aisle, up and down the aisle all night, and nobody cared to get up between innings. No, it didn't matter that the game was going on. People would just stand in the aisle. It was all night long. It's incredible. Nobody watches the game. And it's getting worse, not because of our devices, which is part of the problem, no question, but it's gotten worse because the nets are up. You don't even have to watch the action to worry about getting hit by a foul ball anymore because the nets are up. Now, I love the nets. They're not a problem. They don't keep you from seeing the game. People standing in the aisle, I can't say they don't belong at a baseball game. Everybody belongs at a baseball game, but you would think that people would go to the game and want to watch it. And nobody was watching it. They're showing each other clips on their phone. They're on Instagram. They're on Twitter. And if something happens, I guess they look up. If there's a roar of the crowd or something or a crack of the bat, they look up and try to see what's going on. But I got to admit, I was one of them. As Wacha was getting pounded, I put the game on my phone, which was streaming and is about 1 minute behind the live action. So I could see a replay of everything. Smash into the gap, three-run score. I can see it on my phone, the replay. And we were like literally doing that. And I think maybe a lot of people are doing that. And it's not good for business at the K. I don't know why they don't show replays. It's just astonishing to me. And it doesn't have to be all good stuff for the home team. Why wouldn't you show, if the game is just getting started and a dude gets a double down the line and two-run score, why is that not shown on the Jumbotron afterwards? What's the harm? Even if it's against your team, what is the harm? Let your fans in the stadium see what's going on. I don't know how many people were watching on their phone. I think most people on their phones that I noticed at the game were sharing social media things. But there's also the Royals post highlight clips almost immediately on X. Every time something happens during the game, they post it on X. And if you're at the game, you probably want to see that. My mom says it's probably the last game she'll ever go to. She got cold. It was windy. I said, well, we can go when it's nicer. But she can't really see that much. It's hard to follow the game in person. We're all spoiled HD TV snobs. We are. And the best way to watch a baseball game clearly is on television. Football's the same way. But football, they show you everything. They literally, if you go to Arrowhead, they replay every, like there's what? When the play is over, there's 20 seconds maybe, but by the time the guys get up off the ground and the next snap, they replay every play the entire game at Arrowhead. Like a no-yard gain up the middle, they'll show you a replay of it. And they know this. They know this about the fans. You're like, look, you see the live action. Now you're looking up. It's good for business. People are engaged in the game, and you've got sponsors up on that Jumbotron. It all makes sense. It's just another one of those things the Chiefs are just great at and the Royals are terrible at. I don't get it. The signage at Kauffman Stadium is confusing. The configuration on the scoreboard of all the stats, it's over. It's so typical. You know, when they say something's too inside baseball, the whole presentation of the game at Kauffman Stadium is too inside baseball. There's too many stats, too much information up there, and not nearly enough use of just plain old video for people sitting in the seats. Trust me, Royals, the several hundred people sitting around me did not care about any of those stats up there on that Jumbotron. I'm not talking about batting average, home runs, and RBIs. I'm talking about launch angle of a fly ball, you know, all of these different things that, I mean, you got to be a science nerd to follow it all during the game. But what do people like? What got everybody to their feet and engaged at Kauffman Stadium during the game on Saturday night? The hot dog race. That's right. The human beings dressed as hot dogs was the most exciting part of the night. Everybody put their phones down, and everybody watched. It was remarkable. I was doing people watching. I'm guilty of it. The game stunk. The Royals were getting pounded, so maybe it was just that night. But their game presentation isn't very good, and it was a weekend where we saw some amazing sports action in and around Kansas City. A couple of photo finishes, NASCAR and the Derby, and the Royals had their own photo finish on Sunday, losing 3-2 in 10 innings. Sports Today is brought to you by our friends at bstock.net in Olathe. Folks, they do a red tag auction item every week. You know they have great discounts on televisions, computers, Apple products, and have really amazing things that you can get a graduate for a graduation gift. But the red tag auction item is on their website, bstock.net, every single week. This week, it is a Dell brand new laptop computer, and the auction bidding starts at $9.99. Somebody's going to basically steal this laptop. It happens every week. So it is started. It is off and running. When I checked before recording the podcast, the current bid is $95. That's the high bid. There have been three bids on this laptop. It's now $95. They auction something brand new off every week. Keep your eye on their red tag auction item every week at bstock.net. And right now, as I speak, for $95, you can get a brand new Dell laptop. Full warranty, in the box, everything. bstock.net, 14680 South Flaming Road. I mentioned I got my tickets at ticketsforless.com. Folks, shop them for the Royals. We didn't sit in some fancy suites. We got $38 tickets. They were great seats. But the same seats, a row in front of me, not resale, because Tickets for Less owned these tickets, so they weren't for sale at royals.com. But right in front of me, the seats right in front of me, they were $6 more. They were $44 at royals.com. So not only were they cheaper at ticketsforless.com, I then added the promo code, comparison shop. I don't know if it's that way with every seat, every game, but shop around. It's really cool. Ticketsforless.com can save you money. And don't forget that promo code, KKHI. The Finch Knife Company is online at finchknifeco.com. Their collection of pocket knives are available at Shields in Overland Park if you want to check them out in person. Or keep life from getting dull by checking out the website, finchknifeco.com. They're featuring a multitude of new series of pocket knives this year. It's about one new knife each month. Check out all the latest and greatest from Finch Knife Company online at finchknifeco.com or any of their dealers nation and worldwide, finchknifeco.com. Another big sporting event took place this weekend in Miami, the Formula One race. And we won't get into details of the race, the winner, nobody cares. What's interesting about the Formula One race is whether it's in Vegas or Miami or whatever, this thing is the show. This is the planet's new Barnum and Bailey Circus. That's exactly what it is. This is the richest of the rich, and I'm going to guess there were people at the Kentucky Derby Saturday and the F1 race in Miami on Sunday. Patrick Mahomes chose to go to the F1 race. We know Travis Kelce was at the Derby on Saturday, tailorless, by the way. Mahomes loves the Formula One and likes meeting the drivers and hanging out with sports stars, and Patrick Mahomes does what Patrick Mahomes wants to do. So he was there. This is the see and be seen thing of all time, Formula One racing. They race in the most glamorous places on Earth. So obviously, Miami and Las Vegas are places in America where they like to run. Donald Trump walked into the event, and this is a very international event, was greeted with USA, USA, USA chants over and over and over everywhere he went at the Formula One race. It was incredible to see the appeal of this man with so many people. And unlike 2016, when you couldn't tell people that you liked Trump or you supported Trump or you were voting for Trump, now people just blurt it right out and it's okay. And it's becoming more okay every day because of Biden's ineptness. So people aren't afraid to do this. But it was really cool to see that. And it's incredible to watch this man work crowds and how kind he is. And every time he walks by a security guard or a police officer, he stops and thanks him. It's remarkable. The man is in touch. There is no question he is in touch with Americans. There are Americans that don't like him because of what he's in touch with. But they relate to him. They understand the appeal. There's no more, why do people like Trump? The liberals on the left are not like, how can they possibly? No, they're trying to convince themselves that he's some sort of a criminal or thug or whatever. But they watch him and they know exactly why he appeals to so many people. He's a billionaire of the people. There's just no other way to describe it. Most billionaires are not. They're just detached, many case on the left, lunatics, pedophiles, whatever. Trump's not that guy. He's got his flaws. Of course he's got his flaws. He's been through a lot of women and divorces and all these things. He's not perfect, but he does relate to most Americans. No matter what it is that you do or who you are, he can relate to you. And he was quite the show at this race. The most amazing thing I saw about the Formula One race this weekend in Miami was a post on X, where if you went to the Hard Rock there, the Hard Rock Beach Club, and I don't know if that's part of a hotel on the beach or what it is, but the back part, the beach club part, is a pool. You know what a beach club is, right? Okay, so the Hard Rock Beach Club was open for the Formula One race. So I assume the race went right by there. It was $1,000 a ticket to get in to the Hard Rock Beach Club. Oh, but we're just getting started. The poolside menu had light bites, like lobster rolls, for $350, or get this, carne asada nachos, $180. You don't think the richest people in the world were in Miami this weekend? Holy smokes, nachos, $180. Now, these were light bites, so it's a shareable platter. I'm guessing it's big, probably feeds four people. The Light Bites menu at the Hard Rock Beach Club had $180 nachos at the Formula One race. Wow. Well, you know, we hear a lot in politics about the haves and the have-nots. And I do believe we have a very wealthy country. The poorest people in America, by global standards, are pretty wealthy. They're well-fed. There's not a lot of starvation in America. There's mental illness that leads to people starving or being hungry, living under bridges and things like that. That's a mental health problem. There's food everywhere. This is a wealthy country. There is no reason to not have shelter over your head and food in your belly in this country. The government will take care of you. Charities will take care of you. Rich people will take care of you. It's doable. There is no reason to be homeless. It's a mental illness problem, not a lack of resources problem. And that's never on display more than you see at places like the Kentucky Derby or a Formula One race in Miami. But there is a widening gap of people. I don't know how many it is. There's like, I feel like there's literally millions of people that are insanely wealthy in this country or globally that come to these events. How do you fill up a beach club with, what, 1,000 people at the beach club that paid $1,000 each and pay $180 for nachos? Who are these people? Like, I think we're doing pretty well in life. The Keatsman's here. There ain't no way I got $1,000 for a ticket to the beach club and $180 for nachos. No chance. Would it break me if I did that for a day? No. In the grand scheme of things, on my deathbed, would it have mattered that I spent that money? Probably not. But no. No, we're not spending $2,500 to go to the F1 race and hang out at a beach club. It's astonishing to me, the money that people have and the things that they do and the prices that are charged. It really is astonishing, and nowhere is that on display more than a Formula One race. Now, of course, we know that the really wealthy and the really famous are free. Like, Trump didn't pay anything to go there. Patrick Mahomes didn't spend a nickel other than his private jet flight, but he does commercials for them, so his jet's free. Everything he wants is free. His agent makes the call, sets it up for him, and Patrick Mahomes is there. So the really elite of the elite, they get to go do all this stuff for free because they are somebody. And if you were somebody, you were at the race on Sunday in Miami, the Formula One race. Sporting Kansas City loses over the weekend to Real Salt Lake, 1-0. Sporting has not won since March 30th. They had a pretty good run in March, but they have not won since March 30th. They are 0-3-2 in their last five. This one, they were clearly playing defense all night and just trying to get out of there with a 0-0 tie, a draw, and get a result. They were unable to do so. In the last 10 minutes of the match, they give up a goal to Salt Lake and lose 1-0. Rough go for Sporting Kansas City. The current win, we don't follow them as closely, but they win all the time. It seems like they are maybe the Yankees of women's soccer. We'll keep an eye on the current if they're going to be steamrolling toward a championship. Our news today is brought to you by Aspen Wealth Management, online at aspenwealth.com. Tavis and Trevor Holsinger would love to be your financial advisors. They have decades of experience. They understand the ups and the downs of the market. And what they really stress to me is that a lot of people just put money in a bank, and right now you can get 4.5%, 5%. It's doing really well, whatever. But they don't have diversification in their portfolio. A lot of people have a lot of money in their home, which is good, and then just money in the bank. If you'd like to diversify and get into some mutual funds, they feature dynamic smart portfolios at Aspen Wealth, and they would love to work with you on tactical asset allocation. They can help you big time. Just make the call to Trevor or Tavis Holsinger, 491-0500. It's a 913 number, 491-0500. They'll personally speak with you and consult with you for absolutely free to get you started. AspenWealth.com. Ideal Health KC is Dr. Kip Van Camp. He's going to be on the podcast this week. I believe Dr. Van Camp is going to join us on Wednesday. We have taken your questions from your emails. We're going to focus a lot on back pain and the different types of back injuries and back pain and what regenerative medicine can do for back pain. We don't talk about that much, and I've not mentioned that much, but it's about almost half of the patients he sees have some sort of back pain. If you have back pain, regenerative medicine could be for you. Dr. Van Camp is one of the first ever in America to do regenerative health. He was one of the first 20 doctors to open a practice. He's been doing it longer than anyone else. 913-745-5300. Online at idealhealthkc.com. Dr. Van Camp will join us this week. And my buddy Bart over at McConnell & Associates is waiting for your phone call. If you're an athletic director or facility manager, high school, rec leagues, city and county parks, medical offices, churches, homeowners associations, maybe you sit on a city council or you work at the city in public works, McConnell & Associates is there for you. Wherever you walk, park, or play, walk all over these folks. It's McConnell & Associates. They pave it, they stripe it, they design it, and build it. 816-287-3330. That's 816-287-3330 for McConnell & Associates. Online at The KK List. The best way to get to their website is go to thekklist.com. Click on McConnell & Associates. It'll take you right there. And Ron Buck and his team at Buck Roofing and Buck Disposal. Don't forget it for all your disposal needs. Buck Disposal is there for you. This is not trash pickup. This is job site or your house cleaning. The big dumpster that you need out front when you're gutting out everything in your basement and throwing it away. They'll bring a dumpster, you fill it, then they'll haul it off. Or it's perfect for your job site. Or call Buck Roofing, 913-384-2680. After all the rain that we've had, you might need somebody to look into your roof or your windows from Window World. We've talked about that. Or Foundation Recovery Systems, online at foundationrecoverysystems.com. We've got a lot of folks that work with water. Earth Effects Outdoor can get the water away from your house with drainage and landscape and maintenance around your home. But Buck Roofing is available for you. If you've got a problem with your roof after all these storms, give them a call over there at Buck Roofing. On to the news, and we start with Strip's Chicken, a place that I've never been. I've driven by it in Olathe several times on the way to my mom's house, and it's got a funky sign outside. It says chicken strips and pork burgers, and I'll be honest with you. I can't think of anything more disgusting sounding than a pork burger. That just does not sound good to me. It doesn't. So I've never stopped at Strip's, but apparently their locations that are not in Waldo are very popular, and people love the chicken strips. I looked at their menu. There's all kinds of other stuff on there. They actually have a grilled chicken sandwich, which is hard to find anymore. I like grilled chicken. I'll go to Chick-fil-A, get a grilled chicken sandwich, drive through if I'm hungry, need something quick. That's my go-to to get something relatively healthy. But none of the fast food places have grilled chicken anymore. They all used to have them. Burger King used to have one that was flame grilled. Gone. It's all crispy fried chicken sandwiches. There's no grilled chicken anywhere. So I may try Strip's at some point and get some grilled chicken because I think they have grilled chicken strips. You can dip in barbecue sauce or whatever. They're just healthier for you. That's all. I'm not saying I don't eat fried chicken. I love fried chicken and I like fried chicken strips and fried chicken sandwiches. When I'm trying to be healthy, I'm looking for that grilled chicken. Apparently Strip's has that. But this owner, I would have never gone into his place, but now I think I will. I think he's one of us. The owner's name is Todd Johnson. And many of you sent this to me. I got maybe 20 emails from people who saw this on Facebook. This happened on Thursday or Friday, and then Todd Johnson went on KCMO radio, I'm pretty sure, and talked about what he did in Waldo. He has closed his Waldo location in Kansas City, Missouri, and he posted this on Facebook, quote, "Today I made the hasty but inevitable decision to permanently close our Waldo location. I had planned to handle this in a more graceful manner at some point, but after an incident involving the houseless and the police in our dining room last night, I reached my breaking point. It's just a matter of time until an employee gets hurt. It would be entertaining and sad to provide you with a list of the absurd and unfortunate events that have occurred at our Waldo location since we opened in 2021. Instead, I would simply like to express my gratitude to our incredible employees and loyal customers. I invite you to join us at our Olathe or Merriam locations, as well as our new Lenexa location, which will likely open in late June. We believe you'll see some of your favorite Waldo employees there. Exciting things are on the horizon for Strip's, but unfortunately not in Kansas City, Missouri. I apologize for this closure. I appreciate your understanding and support. Todd Johnson, proprietor." Okay, so Todd Johnson is out. Then he goes on KCMO radio and says, "We had 8 break-ins in Waldo in 2 years. And, quote, the difference between 8 break-ins and 0 is dramatic," unquote. Well, yes, that's correct. So he said 0 break-ins in Merriam and 0 in Olathe. And he expects to have 0 in Lenexa, and he's done with it. Now, it sounded like the way he wrote there that he was complaining about the cops in his dining room. It was not. What he meant was they had a problem with the homeless ransacking their restaurant, and they called the police, and the police took care of it, is as I understand what happened. He's not complaining at all about the police. What he's complaining is they've had 8 break-ins, and homeless people just come in and tear the place apart and start to take stuff, and there's not much they can do about it, other than hire a really expensive security guard or something, but that can get you in trouble too. We see places hiring security and then security guards being arrested and owners being arrested for having security guards because apparently we are protecting thieves now. Kansas City, Missouri is a safe haven for breaking into places and stealing stuff. They don't really prosecute you. They let you go. Todd Johnson's had enough. Simply a sign of the times. Tony Bateo is the publisher of TonysKansasCity.com. I've talked about the website many times. I go there every day. Every day I visit TonysKansasCity.com. Tony Bateo is terrific. He is, I think, mostly conservative, but he doesn't really like to let that show on his website. But you can kind of tell. And he's been on with Pete Mundo a couple of times on KCMO Radio. And he went on there on Friday and he dropped something at the very beginning of the interview that I did not know. So on Sunday, we celebrated Cinco de Mayo. I'm backtracking now before I get to Tony Bateo. We went with a couple of friends of ours. I've never celebrated Cinco de Mayo because I usually work or whatever. It's never been a thing, but this was a Sunday afternoon. Let's do this. We were going to play golf, but it was too wet and cold and blah, 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 blah. Let's go get some Mexican food and celebrate Cinco de Mayo. So we go over toward 87th and Lackman or so in Lenexa. There's a Mexican restaurant there that we haven't been to maybe in a year. I'm like, it's a big place. I'm like, it's big. It'll be less crowded than other places because it's so big. And we go there, and on Cinco de Mayo, it's closed. They had a wild Cinco party apparently on Saturday night, because what we saw was a giant tent in the parking lot where apparently there was a band and overflow from the restaurant for hundreds more people. And the dumpsters behind this restaurant, you know how those little encasements, the doors that close over? One of the doors was open to the little area where the dumpsters sit. The dumpsters were both overflowing. There was trash everywhere. Like, this was a throwdown on Saturday night. So apparently they went so late and so hard on Saturday night at this place, they gave the whole staff off and were closed on Sunday. But I was shocked to see that. So we wound up in Shawnee at a different Mexican restaurant, and I couldn't believe how people were partying on a Sunday. It was wild. And it was white people partying. And it was mostly women. And margaritas, tables full of women. Like 6, 8, 12 women at a table throwing down tequila, playing music, getting up and dancing. And woo, it's Cinco de Mayo. It was on, man. It was crazy. It was crazy to see. Tony Mateo, I didn't hear this until Monday morning, until afterwards, was on with Pete Mundo, and he is an expert on all things Hispanic culture. And Tony Mateo dropped this little nugget that Cinco de Mayo basically started in Kansas City as we know it. That some students a long time ago, people he calls quote-unquote Chicanos, which he says at one point, I guess it was a disparaging term of somebody who was kind of dirty. I don't know. It's interesting to hear Tony say it. I'm just butchering his story here, but it was interesting to hear him explain this to Pete Mundo. He said these are student. It was a student movement. It was Chicanos who said, we need something to celebrate Mexican heritage as American citizens and have it be our day. He says nobody ever celebrated or popularized the Battle of Pueblo, which is what Cinco de Mayo is, the Battle of Pueblo. Well, that's long lost, and that's not a thing even with Mexicans in Mexico. Like, nobody cares. That's not a thing. So this is an American-invented holiday from students in the Kansas City area that wanted a reason to throw a party in honor of Mexico. He said it's just completely been distorted as a drinking day. It's a drinking celebration, and it's totally an American holiday. That's all it is. And as he says it, mostly white people celebrating what they think is Mexican Independence Day, but is really the Battle of Pueblo. Nobody knows what the hell Cinco de Mayo is, and nobody cares. It's a reason for a whole bunch of white women to get together and drink margaritas and think they're doing a cool thing for diversity. Hey, I love Cinco de Mayo. We were happy to go celebrate it. I don't need to know what it's about. We love our holidays, and we love our reasons to do things in America, and we do them. The CEO of a company called Hims and Hers is in trouble. Andrew Dudum is a Dudum. Hims is, it started I get in trouble every time I say this. It started as boner pills or whatever, erectile dysfunction, whatever you want to call it. That's what it is. It's gravitated into hair loss and I think some things for muscle growth and whatever. For Hims, you've heard of this, For Hims, and For Hers. I don't know what For Hers is. I don't know. I've seen this. We've all seen this advertised. They are in big, big trouble. The CEO, Andrew Dudum, D-U-D-U-M, is a self-proclaimed Palestinian American, and he went on X late last week to support the Hamas rioters on college campuses and all over the country. The stock fell 8% on Friday, and millions of people have reacted boycotting this company, saying there are all kinds of alternatives and options to this company. Do not do business with this people. How can this guy be that dumb, the CEO? How does anybody that supports a terrorist group, Hamas, of which we've seen the polling, how does anyone know they're not in the overwhelming minority in this country? How do they not know that? That Americans don't like Islamic terrorist groups. We're not fond of them. That's not xenophobia. That's not racism. That's not what this is. This is our lived experience. For me, my lived experience, they got my attention when Jimmy Carter was president and they took the hostages in Iran for all that time. And we would watch Nightline with Ted Koppel every night to see if the hostages were going to be released. They've been messing with us forever. They're bad people. Islamic terrorists are bad people. I did not say Islamic people are bad. Islamic terrorists are bad. That's what's occupying the Gaza Strip. These so-called Palestinians and the people that are there support Hamas. That's their government. They like Hamas. They support the actions of killing Jews. That's what this is about. This is not about genocide. Israel's got to stop killing Palestinians. That's not what it's about. These people want to kill Jews. They chant death to America. And we allow it. And we should not allow any of this to be taking place by anyone that's a non-citizen. Anyone that's demonstrating or chanting death to America or something that's pro-Hamas that is not a citizen should be deported immediately and sent home. I'm serious. I mean, instantly out of our country. Goodbye. You have no right. You're not an American citizen. You have no right to do this, and we want you out. We should be doing that, and I feel like Trump would be doing that. But that's not happening. And so this Andrew Dudum goes on X, and he posts that he supports these people and their right to free speech and supporting Palestine and Palestinian independence and the right to defend themselves and all this stuff. No recognition of Hamas, but the stock goes in a tank. I don't know what it's doing on Monday, but we'll keep an eye on this company and see what happens with Americans and whether or not Americans are all over this thing and boycotting for hims and for hers. It happened at the same time, Politico writes an article. This is amazing. When the left, it's pretty funny. I know some people that are pretty liberal, and they'll tell me some things sometimes that I don't know, because we have our own little conservative bubble. I'll admit that. There's things that we don't see that they see about us, and some of them are disturbing, like the congressman in New York that they kicked out of Congress. Well, that was the biggest non-story ever. I can't even remember his name, and I didn't care. You know, I don't care about this Cuellar guy that much. This Cuellar guy is a Democrat, and he's in trouble. Some of these stories, you just don't, just like, I don't care, whatever. It's not that big a story. But to them, it was. So their big story now, they don't even know this, apparently. Politico breaks the news over the weekend that they've done an investigation, and the funding of all these Hamas supporters, and the reason this is happening is there's a lot of Jews in media. There's a lot of liberal Jews in media, and they're not happy with Hamas and Gaza and Palestinians and these demonstrations. They're not happy. So now Politico, and I don't know if the writer, the author of this story was Jewish or not. I can't say that. But I know that a lot of people in media are, and they're liberal. They've done this amazing discovery. Did you know that there's money behind these demonstrations? That they pay these leftist people to go demonstrate? And the money is from Biden mega donors like George Soros? Did you know this? And Bill Gates? It's left-wing billionaires funding all this stuff. No kidding. What are you going to break next? That these people supported the Black Lives Matter movement? It doesn't occupy Wall Street. It doesn't matter what movement it is. These are wacko leftists, and they're funded by left-wing billionaires. Politico literally is breaking that to people on the left that didn't know it. I can't say this loud enough. There are Democrats and leftists that don't know the biggest leftist donors fund all these riots. How do they not know that? Because it's not in their media. And now it looks like maybe it is. Politico has written it, and they're out and about with that. Our final today is brought to you by, I mentioned Earth Effects Outdoor a little bit earlier. They will get that water moving away from your home. They do all kinds of great work with drainage, grading, erosion, retaining walls, maybe even a water feature. If you've got some water near your house, they can stream it and take it down and build you a little rock river or something. They do all kinds of great work like that. Earth Effects Outdoor is your new landscaping company. Online at eeoutdoor.com. That's 816-478-7700. And Stroud's Catering. I told my mom I'm going to take her to Stroud's here in the next couple weeks. We'll probably go to the Overland Park location. It's very near where she lives. There's also in the Northland at Oak Ridge Manor, Stroud's Chicken, pan-fried chicken, or 135th and 69 Highway. They'd love for me to talk about their catering. They'd love to cater your party, your family reunion, your event this spring or summer, or office catering. You can do catering and pick it up yourself and take it back to your office or your home, or they'll do the whole thing. They'll even come to your event with giant pan fryers and pan fry at your location outdoors. Whether you're going to Luce Park and having a family reunion or something under a shelter, they'll come cook for you right there. They'll cater it. They'll do it. They'll come to your home. They'll come to your neighborhood swimming pool. Stroud's Catering is online at stroudscatering.com. There's kind of a taste of tradition and history in every mouth-watering bite since 1933. Stroud's pan-fried chicken, online at stroudscatering.com. Our final is what's being billed as the greatest roast of all time. It's the roast of Tom Brady, the GOAT. And it happened on Netflix this weekend. And I don't know why anybody would subject themselves to a roast, but Brady's cool for doing it, I guess. A lot of people do it. And he did. And he took all kinds of shots, including this one from Kevin Hart. Kevin Hart, the comedian, is up there. And he says, Tom Brady's really a man to be admired, if you love football. Giselle told him, retire or I'm leaving you. And then Hart says, you know, Tom, when you got a chance to go out 8-9 and all it cost you was your wife and kids, you know, a man's got to do what a man's got to do. That's in reference to Tom Brady's final year that was not very successful. And it was a year that his wife and kids left him and moved out of the house. Rough. The roasts are rough. At one point, Jeff Ross, who's incredibly mean but funny and dirty, makes a joke about Robert Kraft, who's at the dais. Belichick was there. All these famous people are there. And he makes a joke about Robert Kraft and prostitution getting a massage. Remember, he got a massage in West Palm Beach that was actually a prostitution ring and got taken to the Pokey Poke and had to pay some fines and go to court. They swept that. The NFL, yeah. Oh, the NFL is going to suspend Rashee Rice for half a year, but an owner goes to a massage parlor in Florida where the prostitutes hang out, and no trouble for the owner. So Jeff Ross makes this off-color remark that was incredibly great. I thought it was great. If you can't hammer Robert Kraft, what's the point of the greatest roast of all time? Brady gets up from where he's sitting and puts his hand on Ross's shoulder and says, don't go there. That's enough. And Ross looked at him and goes, okay, and continues. And you could hear Brady on microphone say it. Brady was not happy that Jeff Ross was taking a swipe at his former owner, Robert Kraft. But the roast apparently was on Netflix, and it was very funny. Some of the jokes that I've read are pretty darn good and pretty darn dirty, I'm guessing as well, because that's what the roasts are. Tom Brady, the GOAT, roasted on Netflix, our final. Hey, hit that like, follow, or subscribe button if you would, or have a friend do that and turn them onto the podcast. Or don't forget, you can join the Patrons program by going to kkhasissues.com. Less than 5 minutes time, you're signed up, ready to go. It's $5.99 a month. We'll begin our patron podcast this week, later today, with the news of whatever happens on Monday. Generally speaking, the patron podcasts are later in the day, and they're a reflection of what's happened during the day. So it's kind of like breaking-ish, but most people listen to them right away when they get them, in the afternoon drive home, or in the evening. So if you want more, the afternoon podcast is basically a patron podcast. You can sign up at kkhasissues.com. $5.99 a month for even more. Kevin Keatsman has issues.
Kevin Keatsman has issues has been presented by Roberts Robinson Chevrolet GMC and is produced by Crooked Tail Media. Please hit the like or follow button wherever you listen or give us a review. For premium content, podcasts, and weekly newsletter, join as a patron at kkhasissues.com for as little as $5 a month. Support all our sponsors and other conservative businesses at thekklist.com.
This has been a production of Crooked Tail Media Incorporated.